Hi, this is Sue Troy. I'm site editor for SearchStorageChannel.com. Today I'm talking with Greg Schultz, founder and managing partner of the Storage.io Group, about clustered NAS. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
Very good. So, Greg, what is NAS clustering?
NAS clustering means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So, in one instance, clustered NAS is referred to or considered being clustered if you simply have a pair of NAS heads, a pair of NAS nodes in an active-passive configuration, okay? So in other words, if one fails, the workload shifts over. That's more analogous, Sue, to the classic server cluster definition. But if you go by that definition, then almost every block storage device in the marketplace could call itself clustered because they're all at least dual controller for a failover. But what's also referred to as clustered NAS, some call them scale-out NAS, some call them bulk storage type systems, is where you have multiple nodes that you can actually move file systems across, that you can load balance, that you can increase your performance, increase your capacity for a given file system. Where it gets even more confusing, in fact, I've even done articles for TechTarget as well as on my own blog around the topic of clarifying cluster confusion, including, I think, in your archives, there's some material from one of the storage decisions on the topic, is clustered NAS, which is just clustering the NAS servers versus a clustered file system, where your actual file system can be running on multiple different nodes at one time.
Mm-hmm. And of those three different possible groups, is anyone, which of the three is getting attention nowadays in terms of new product releases?
Well, it's all over the board there, Sue, just like the definition. Certainly, if your view is that if you have two or more controllers for failover, those are very, very, very commonly deployed, a lot of action around that. If you look at more in terms of from a scaling out, either scaling out, also referred to as scale up. In other words, you have scale out, scale up, from an approach of being able to boost performance, boost capacity, in addition to increasing availability. That's where you're seeing a lot of activity in the area for supporting bigger file systems, for supporting larger home directories, for online archives, active archives, for repositories, for hosting Web 2.0 type applications.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are sort of the biggest limitations of clustered NAS?
Biggest limitation can be the different approaches. In other words, there are some that are very proprietary, and there are some that are very open. Some are so open that you could take the software that typically comes prepackaged on a server and actually plug it into different vendor storage systems. So you have a lot of flexibility maximizing your return on investment. Some are actually those deployments, but prepackaged, pre-configured as solutions where you don't have as much flexibility. The big thing comes down to if you start looking, Sue, at the more solutions that are focused around bulk, scale out, high capacity, ultra low cost per capacity, you may be giving up some of the enterprise feature functionality such as snapshots, advanced replication, and other functionalities.
Mm-hmm. What about migrating data using clustered NAS?
Well, this gets interesting is particularly if you go to a clustered file system, in other words, where the actual file system is running across the different nodes, by its nature, by design, is once you put your data into that file system within that cluster system, the data is moving within the file system itself, okay? So you simplify the moving, the re-tiering, the load balancing. Even if it's not in the same file system, most of the clustered solutions that once you put the data within the cluster, there are tools for migrating between one file system and the other. Mm-hmm. In terms of how do you get your data from an existing NAS onto a clustered file system, a lot of different tools, a lot of different capabilities out there. Certainly, if you have it as a NFS mount point or a SIP share today, do a copy, do a backup and restore. Now, you may have run into a scenario where you want to be able to do that while data is being used or in access non-disruptively. Well, that's where you may take a look at some of the different migration tools or file virtualization tools like those from vendors like EMC, among others.
Mm-hmm. That actually leads into my next question, which is how does NAS clustering differ from file virtualization?
Ironically, file virtualization is very, very similar to block virtualization. In other words, same value proposition addressing the same issues of you can use it for consolidating, you can use it for pooling, aggregation, but you can also use it for agility, flexibility, re-tiering, helping facilitate migration. So how they differ, but how they can complement, by if you have a clustered NAS, which is a clustered solution, but with many different individual file systems on it, then you may need to put a file virtualization layer across the top of that to simplify ease of use. That file virtualization could be as simple as, say, Windows DFS or a NFS NIST or one of the third-party virtualization type tools. But the other approach to it is that if you go into a clustered NAS with a clustered file system, now you eliminate the need to put that abstraction layer across all the individual different file systems because you potentially have one large file system or the file systems are all contained within one system. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, a clustered file system can eliminate the need for file virtualization, but file virtualization can also complement and help coexist with clustered NAS and clustered file systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining me, Greg.
My pleasure.
For more on clustered NAS, be sure to visit searchstorage.com.